Thank you to everyone who makes SVC what it is. As you've cottoned on, there's been one or two technical hitches. You've not noticed? Oh, that's brilliant. And thank you to everyone who has borne with us, who has worked hard, and who... Yeah, so thank you. So as you've heard, we're continuing to look at the Lord's Prayer, and we're going to look at Give Us This Day Our Daily Bread, or as some translation says, Give Us Today the Food We Need. And we're going to look at it and tease out some things. One thing I haven't done is tell you how to pray. Because, first of all, I'm not a person you should be following in that way. There's better prayers here. And second of all, we're going to see today prayer is personal. And God wants your heart, not you trying to be somebody else, yeah? So when we look at this passage, and I'm going to sound like I'm going back on what I've said, but please, that's not what it is, just bear with me. We're going to look at this phrase, this petition of the Lord's Prayer. We're going to look at where it is, what it is, why we should do it, and how we should do it. And the how is not a how-to, it's just attitude. So where is it, what is it, why should we do it, and how should we do it? So where is it? Well, it's in the Bible. But Jesus teaches this prayer in a certain order. In Luke's Gospel, Give Us Today the Food We Need is the third request of the Lord's Prayer. In Matthew, the one that we normally say in church service, it's the fourth. There are some things that are more important than our daily needs. They are God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. So normally when a Christian prays, the first thing a Christian should be concerned with is God. Now, that doesn't mean every time you pray, you need to follow a formula or worship God. You know, Nehemiah, in the book of Nehemiah, he offered what's called an arrow prayer. The king asked him a question, and he had to answer straight away, and he said, God, help me, I'd imagine. Or when you drive in and you hit the brake and nothing happens, you know, that might be a time where you say, God, help! You know, or times like that. But generally, the Christian in prayer should be concerned with God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will before we get to our own concerns. You see, the Lord's Prayer follows the pattern. Jesus said you can sum up the law in two ways, love God and love your neighbor. Well, the Lord's Prayer prays that way. Loving God comes first. And it's also a pattern that we see in the life of Jesus. In John chapter 8, in one of his discussions with the religious leaders of the day, Jesus said to them, in John chapter 8, verses 49 and 50, he said, I honor my Father, and you dishonor me, yet I do not seek my own glory. Jesus was all about seeking the glory of God, even when it cost him his life. Yeah? That famous prayer he prayed, which the church will be remembering on Thursday night, he's in the garden alone the night before he dies, and he said in Matthew 26, verse 39, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. This cup of the wrath of God against sin that he was going to bear on the cross. He says, if it's possible, let it pass. But not as I will, but as you will. That's That's someone who's got his eyes fixed on God's glory. So Jesus lived the pattern that he taught. All teachers and all preachers, to an extent, were all hypocrites. I preach a standard to you, and I don't live it. But Jesus lived everything he taught. Yeah? Even to the point of death. So the petition for us to ask for our daily needs comes after the glory of God. Because it's the glory of God that lasts forever. Yeah? And Thomas Watson, one of my favorite writers, says, we are to prefer God's glory before our nearest and dearest concerns. So the Lord's Prayer puts God in his place and puts you and me in ours. God is the center of everything. And we exist for him. He doesn't exist for us. God didn't create us because he needed us. God created us because he was so happy and joyful in himself. He wanted to share it with people. And so he created us. And after we'd messed it up, he saved us. So what is this prayer? What is it? It's asking God to give us those things that are necessary to keep us alive. Right? In Israel at the time of Christ, as you're probably aware, you had to do your shopping every day. You had to get, you know, things didn't last. There was no fridges. There was no freezers. You couldn't do a month's shop or, you know, a week's shop at the supermarket and store it. Every day you had to get your food. They really did live hand to mouth. And many people in this country shamefully live like that in this day and age. But, you know, we have to, you know, they caught the fish. You read about it in the Bible. They got their fish every day from the market, and that was their meal. So they really did live day to day. And so this prayer is saying, give me what I need for each day. So it's a prayer of what we say dependency. You know? It's good to want to be independent, to have a job, to earn your own money, to pay the bills, to have a bit away for the rainy day, but ultimately, everything we have, every day's needs comes from God. You know, there's an old hymn, I need thee every hour, most gracious Lord. No tender voice like thine can peace afford. You know, I need thee, oh, I need thee, every hour I need thee. And this is a prayer like that. You know, I'm reminded of one preacher in America. He went to a seminary. And there were loads of young men fired up, ready for mission, men, women, going to win the world for Christ. And he said to them, he was from Texas. So he was really straightforward. And I'm not going to do the accent. He says, you lot, you want to do things for God? He says, yeah. He says, you want to win the world for Christ? Yeah. He says, right, breathe in. He says, right, breathe out. He says, where did you get that breath? And they said, God. He says, you can't take a breath without God. What are you going to do for God? Yeah? Yes. We depend on God for everything. Paul said in Acts, in him we live and move and have our being. So when we take a step, that's of the sheer grace and compassion of God. It's a prayer of humility. And it's hard in the West for us to grasp this, but to say we need you every day to provide all our needs, when we can just go to the supermarket, you know? When we are, even, and I'm not belittling the suffering of poor people in this country when I say this, but Britain now, the people in Britain, compared to the rest of the world, and at any time in human history, the West has never been this wealthy. And that's probably why we've lost the knowledge of God, to be honest. I remember Barry saying in a life group, the parts of the world that are poorer, God is honored and reverenced. But we've got abundance. in the West, and the West has forgotten God. Yeah, absolutely. So it's a prayer of humility. It's saying, all I have is given to me by God, and he gets the glory. My daily bread, the things I need to stay alive, the things that I can't do without, God has given me. And he should be glorified and he should be praised. And remember, I said this prayer teaches love your neighbor as yourself. This is a prayer of love. It's not give me what I need to survive and what I need to be comfortable. It's give us. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us what we need. So if I want to be sheltered, if I want to be clothed and I want to be fed, Jesus said, what you want done to you, you should want for everybody. Love your neighbor as yourself. So when we pray, give us this daily bread, we're saying, God, relieve the hungry, make the sick well, end homelessness, end poverty, education, may everybody read it right. What I want for me, God, do it for everybody else. It's a prayer of love. It's dependency, humility, and love. We don't forget others when we pray. Give us this day our daily bread. So to pray, it's to show compassion. And indeed, if we pray, let's make sure we're doing what we can to help people. Because sometimes, I remember A.W. Tozer reading in one of his books, and he said, if you pray for a loved one and never witness to them, you're being dishonest. If we're praying, yes, let's pray, and where we can, and many of you do what you can, and you're all amazing, let's try and help and be Christ's hands and feet in our community. We do that in this church through Christians Against Poverty, CAP, you come here, you get a free meal. We want to bless you. That's something we've always done since we were set up, because we want you to be blessed. Yeah, give us this day our daily bread. So that's what it is. Now, why should we do this? It's a fair question. It's a fair question. God, this high and holy being who's all-powerful, who governs the universe, why does he want to hear from me? Well, in the Bible, there's a book called Isaiah. He's a chap who lived in Israel long before the time of Jesus, and he's called the Prince of the Prophets because of how he viewed God. His view of God is amazing. He has such a high, God is so big. You know, at the start of the book of Isaiah, he goes to the temple and he meets God. And he falls down. He can't believe it. He said, I'm ruined. I've seen God. You know, it's amazing. He goes to church and the thing that nobody expects happens. God shows up, you know. He was in church, as it were, in the temple. That was their church. And he sees God holy in his glory. And he wrote this later on in the book. He said, thus says the one who is high and lifted up, who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. So God is high and lifted up. He inhabits eternity. He has no beginning and no end. There never was a time when God wasn't there. Yeah? He's holy. That means he's set apart. He's pure. He's clean. He's right. He's beautiful. All that. He's amazing. But listen to what he says. He says all that. He says, I dwell, this is God speaking, I dwell in the high and holy place, and also with the one who is of a lowly spirit. A contrite and lowly spirit. Contrite, sad for sin, and lowly, humble. So when you come to God, with your prayers. Remember, it's a prayer of humility. God dwells with you. That God who created the universe is with you when you pray. You know, one of my favorite bands is Sovereign Grace, and they have a song called All Praise to Him. And the first verse goes, part of the first verse is, all praise to Him who reigns in love, who guides the galaxies above, yet bends to hear our every prayer in sovereign power and tender care. You know, when you think of it, you watch these programs on telly and you look at a galaxy and it's massive. There's 100 billion stars in each galaxy and there's 100 billion of them in the universe, and we only know about 1% of the universe, so we don't know how many of them there are, and God's guiding all that. And yet, He wants to hear our prayers. Which brings us to the other encouragement. Why should we do it? God's told us to. You know, God, this high and exalted God, has told you, has commanded you to pray to Him and ask Him for things. In His most famous sermon, called the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, ask. So Jesus is telling you, ask. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened to him. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? Remember, this prayer starts, Our Father. In Christ, if you're a Christian today, you are in Christ, you're united to Him by faith, and all the blessings that He earned are yours. And God is your Father. You're adopted into the family of God. So you have a privilege and a right to be called children of God and to go into His presence in the name of Jesus and ask Him for things. Ask Him for those things that are on your heart. Right? Do you believe that? Well, pray like, when we pray, let's pray like we believe it. Yeah? God has called us in to seek His face and to ask Him for those things that are part of His will. Now, how to do it? Again, this isn't a how-to guide. And we're going to tease out a few questions about prayer that I dare say we are thinking of. We've talked about humility and how great God is. And that when even the holy men of God and women of God in the Bible met with God, they fell down and they were broken. That shouldn't make you run away from God. Because we have a Savior. We're in Christ, so we can go in humbly but with confidence. So we should pray confidently. The writer to the Hebrews says to the church, Jewish Christians, let us with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So God's throne is a throne of grace. And whenever you need help, whenever you're struggling with whatever, you can go in and you'll find grace and mercy to help, receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Whenever that time is, whatever the issue is, however big or small, there are no small prayers with God. I remember a lovely lady from Christchurch, Pennington, she put on, we share a praying together group on Facebook, and she said, this might seem daft to you, But my cat is having an operation. Can you pray for it? That's not daft.
No.
Because that was on her heart. And pets, the only pet I've ever had is when I was a kid. And you know those goldfish you won at a school fete that lasted about 3 days and, you know, poor things. But pets are family members. And God is her father. And when she has something on her heart that's troubling her, God said, come to me. And the book of Proverbs says the righteous cares for his animal. You know? So whatever's bothering you, you can talk to God about it. However small you might think it is, it's not small to God. If it matters to you, it matters to God. And if some of us aren't Christ-like, that's not your fault, that's our fault. You know? And I actually quoted the verse from 1 Peter, cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. All of them. All of your cares, he cares for you. So we should do it with confidence. The second attitude of prayer is with thanksgiving. Paul writes in Philippians 4, verse 6, in everything by prayer, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Yeah? Prayer, all our prayers should be full of thanksgiving. Yeah, I like the act, you know, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication or asking. I like that, and it's good. But thanksgiving should go right through all our prayers. You know, you put salt and pepper on your chips or salt and vinegar, that should be like thanksgiving is. It litters every prayer we pray because it's such a privilege to go before our Father, to present our needs to him, to present our needs for ourselves and for our friends and the world, and he in grace listens to us and has promised to answer in the name of Jesus. It's a great privilege. Should love to pray. So thanksgiving, confidence, thanksgiving. And finally, and this is something I want to spend a little bit of time on, we should ask for things that will glorify God. All our prayers should be to the glory of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, Paul says, in all that you do, whether you eat or drink, do it to the glory of God. Because give us this day our daily bread. It's quite an open prayer. And many of us think, well, can I ask for that? Can I ask for this? You know, switch on some television stations, there'll be somebody saying, well, I heard one, I won't name him, I can't remember his name anyway, but someone was on, made Sky News, actually, a few months ago. He said God had told him that he wanted him to have a brand new private jet that would cost $50 million. Yeah, I told you. And he was going to set up a GoFundMe page so everybody could put in and he could have this private jet that God wanted him to have. Now, does that glorify God, that request? No. That is not... If you have that sort of money, if God's blessed you with that sort of money, I would wonder if a private jet is what you should be spending it on when there's people who can't afford to eat, when there's people who are on the streets, when there's people who can't read and write, when there's all this going on, and you can just afford, just as well afford to pay for a flight wherever, but that's not for me to judge, I don't think. But the thing is, when we ask the things, can I ask this prayer to the glory of God? Yeah? Can I ask this prayer for the glory of God? It's not wrong to want promotion. It's not wrong to want a better job. It's not wrong to use the gifts and abilities you have to build a career, whether it's run a business, go into medicine, go into law, go into teaching. And a job promotion will bring more money. That's not wrong. But the question is, am I doing this for God's glory? And when I have that money, will I use it to God's glory? That gets very searching indeed, doesn't it? So we see, this is why I'm not laying down rules and laws. They're not given in the Bible. Principles are given about how we should pray. Can we pray these things to God's glory? Because ultimately, friends, that's what in Jesus' name means. I'm in Christ, and I should and will only ask for things that Jesus would ask for the purposes that Jesus would ask for them, right? That's what it means to pray in Jesus' name. It's not like over and out or abracadabra or what have you. It means I'm in Christ, and I can stand before God because of his righteousness and his holiness and his obedience. And so I'm asking as Christ would ask. He is my example. He is the one I'll follow. A fantastic thing to do is read the prayers that Jesus prayed. There's one of them, the most beautiful prayer in the Bible, John chapter 17. Jesus prays, and he prays for himself, for his disciples, and for us. And you know what features right through those prayers? The glory of God. Because that was his burning passion and desire. The honor and glory of God's name. So, when we say, give us this day our daily bread, we're asking God to bless every part of our lives, for him to be Lord of every part of our lives, our money, our time, our work, church, marriage, family, house, all of it, submitting it all to his authority and using every good gift that he's given us to his glory. Give us this day our daily bread. So, ask away. You have a Father in heaven who loves you very much, more than you could ever imagine. You know, Psalm 103 says, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. You have a Savior who's praying for you at the right hand of God, in whose name you can go forward, and you have the Holy Spirit in you, who, when we mess it up, says, here, I'll present it for you, and I'll put it right. You can have confidence, we can have humility, we can have thanksgiving, and we can have joy. Give us each day our daily bread. So ask away, SVC, and just before I go, I just want to reaffirm what Eric said. When you pray this week, give us this day our daily bread, pray for our service next week, pray for that amazing young man, Felix, who's come in to share God's word with us. Bring your friends, bring your enemies if you've got any, and encourage Felix the way you do me, because I think he's fantastic, you know. Great, great team that pays workers, and Wormu's let him, released him and given his blessing to come here, and I'm excited. So next week, let's have, as we celebrate that Christ is risen. And then the week after, we've got Brother Martin on forgiveness. So encourage them and pray for them. And let's be praying for each other, that we spiritually and materially prosper, that we keep going, and that God blesses us. So shall we just pray now? Oh Lord, we thank you that you command us to ask, that you tell us, don't stand outside, come on in. I've got a banquet ready for you. And prayer can be hard, and we do have lots of questions. I purposefully haven't talked about unanswered prayer. That's a whole sermon in itself. But we know that if we knew what you know, God, we'd answer prayers the way you do. And we thank you that prayer puts us in our place. It puts us at your feet in love. We can't do anything without you. We must do all to your glory. And we do it all in Jesus' name, by the power of your Spirit, to your glory. So be with us this week. If you just, in a moment of quiet, if you and say in your hearts, just something that you want to say to God now. And we'll just have a minute of quiet. Give us this day our daily bread. Amen.